We are at the top of Samech Hey Amr Aleph, 65A, at the two dots, third line, or second line. Yatzakas Rishona, we're still talking about this Mishnah, that long Mishnah on Samech Dalet Amr Aleph, which talked about the process of doing the Karban, the Karban Pesach. And it said that you have three groups. The first group goes and leaves, the second group goes in and then leaves, the third group goes in and then leaves. The Gemara says, and this is, maybe it's good that we don't have that many people on for this one, Tana, he nikres kas atzlanis. The third group is called those who are lazy. Why is the third group called those who are lazy? Because they come late. The first group got there in time, they got in line, bright and early, and they got into the Beis HaMikdash in the first group. Second group got in a little later, but then the third group ended up coming too late in line, and therefore they got the third group. So the Gemara says, what do you want? It has to happen that way. You said there have to be three groups. So if there have to be three groups, why are you giving the third group a bad name? Right? You said there have to be three groups. So what are they supposed to do? Not go in the group? You said there have to be three groups. So Gemara says, there are three groups, but they didn't have to be part of the third one. They could have been part of the first one. Kedetan in the Brisa says, Rabbi Omer, Ef Shalom Olam Below Bosan Below Barsi. I don't know exactly how to translate these words, but it's impossible to have people who don't smell bad from perfumes, right? Good perfumes and bad perfumes, something like that, right? So meaning that those people are necessary for the industry of perfuming, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that they don't smell bad. They still smell bad. Just because it's necessary doesn't mean they don't smell bad. Here it translates
it might be the opposite. You know, the perfume merchant is the good guy and the tanner is the bad guy.
Right. Tanner, that's the other one. The other one that smells bad. There he is. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Good to have you. So it's the perfume merchant and the tanner. Right, the perfume merchant smells good, but the tanner smells bad. But you know, it's an obviously necessary occupation for all the things we need leather for, including tefillin. And nonetheless, he smells bad. So what are you supposed to do? It's necessary, but still smells bad. So similarly, Ashri Misha Umnaso Bosem Oilo Misha Umnaso Borsi. You know, woe is to him who smells bad because he's a tanner. And here you go with the controversial one. It's impossible to run a world if you don't have both males and females. However, Ashmi Shabanov Zacharim, Oilo Mi Shabanov Nikevos. You know, woe is to he who, praise be one who has boys, woe is to the one who has girls. The only apologetic explanation I can give you for this one is the Chasam Sofer interprets this Gemara to be referring to the characteristics of people, not to the literal organs of people, meaning that it says here, Banav. Banav is a general term. It could mean sons, could mean daughters. Maybe it literally means sons. And here it's talking about whether your sons act like those with initiation. Right. They take initiative, or are they ones who are passive? So just like male and female, you know, generally, figuratively referred to those who take the steps forward and do things, and the woman, the female, is one that receives and is more passive, so too, that's what it's talking about here, that your children should be people of initiative. They should be willing to go do things as opposed to waiting back and letting other people do things. That's how the Chasam Sofer says it, that it's not literally referring to children, because the word banav is used in both. Either way, there you have it. Take it what you will. Not a Devar Torah you want to give at a bat mitzvah. Okay. Kamaseu Bechol. We said in the Mishnah, just like you did the Karban Pesach on a weekday, you do the same thing on Shabbos. The only difference is that when they would sweep the Beis HaMikdash and clean it out, so the Chachamim weren't very happy about it. So why weren't the Chachamim happy? The Chachamim weren't happy. Shlobratzon Man. Who? What Chacham are we worried about? Amrav Chista Shlobratzon Mer Rabbi Eliezer. We're worried about Rabbi Eliezer because Rabbi Eliezer is the one who would not allow a person to do a Shvus B'Mikdash. Di Rabbanan Ha Amri Shvusu Vein Shvus B'Mikdash. According to the Rabbanan, the sweeping of the Beis HaMikdash is only a Shvus. What exactly is the Shvus? What's the rabbinic? What's the rabbinic decree that would not allow them? That, although I'm not really sure what Rashi's talking about here, but either way, I think the Shvus would be Shema Yishava Gumos, but let's keep going. Those are all chayv chatas, meaning they're aster midiraisa. He's the biyom tov lokas harabayim rediv Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says they're all chayv. So it's kind of an interesting way the Gemara introduces it to say that it can't be aster according to the rabban because they say it's a shvus and shvus is mutter b'mikdash. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't think it's a shvus. That's why it's a little they're talking past each other a little bit. But Rabbi Eliezer thinks that sweeping is itself a chiyuv midaraisa. What exactly is the chiyuv midaraisa? Presumably it's tikkun or maybe it's bone. I'm not really sure. What the chiyuv is. But either way, they have a whole list of things here. Milking and I don't know what mamid hachalav means. What does that mean? To make the curd? Is that what it means? Set milk to curdle. Or to make the cheese, to a dried fig bulk size, or one who sweeps the house, or sprinkles the water on the floor, or removes honeycombs. If he did any of those things, they're aser midaraisa according to Rabbi Eliezer. So presumably here, the one who sweeps is aser midaraisa. So what exactly is the issue? I'm not really sure.
We do sweep today.
Well, for the couple interesting things to know. First of all, we pass like chacham, I believe. But that sweeping is okay. But secondly, we have houses that aren't made of dirt floors. I think most of the issue, whatever the issue is because you're fixing the floor. Maybe you're sweeping and you're leveling it out, you're smoothening it, or you're filling in the gaps when you do it. So I think that's really the bigger issue. But the Gemara says, Rav Ashi, Amar Afilu Tema Shalom Ratzon Chacham, even according to Chacham is no good. Rabbi Nassan, he answered according to Rabbi Nassan, Tani Rabbi Nassan, Amar Shvus Tzricha Hitiru. It's only the rabbinic commandments which are necessary in the Beis HaMikdash which they allowed you to do. But Shvus She'enot Tzricha, you don't necessarily have to sweep the floor after the Karban Pesach. You could do it later. So for that kind of unnecessary rabbinic decree violation, Lo Hitiru, they did not allow you to do it according to Rabbi Nassan. Even the Chachamim themselves would not be pleased with sweeping the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Haimimalei. Rabbi Yehuda says there was this cup that they would fill up from the blood on the floor. The blood that filled up on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, of which included blood which was from the Karban Pesach or blood that had to be poured on the Mizbech and blood that didn't have to be poured on the Mizbech. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Haimimalei Midam Hataroves. They would fill it up from the mixture of blood. Meaning, says Rashi, that's part of the stuff which is on the floor are the things that should be brought on Mizbeach. So let's say there was an animal whose blood was not spilled on Mizbeach. Rashi says, "Lo aretz v'lo nizra kamen l'zbeach." Somehow they missed the blood. The blood came out. It spurted in the wrong direction. I don't know. All the blood that they were supposed to fill in the mizbeach did not go into the receptacles, right? The gold and the silver receptacles we talked about yesterday. But instead, it landed on the floor. And therefore, the question is, how are you supposed to take care of that animal? It has to have zrika too. So they would fill up a cup of from the blood on the floor, even though not all the blood on the floor was stuff that could have been used for the mizbeach. But they used it nonetheless because it had within it stuff that could be poured in the Mizbeach. Shimi Shafech Damo Shal Echrem Had Nimtza Zemach Shiro. This one can take care of it because of the stuff that's inside of the mixture. So Amru Lo Rabbi Yehuda V'Halo Alonus Kabo B'Kli. It wasn't properly received in the container itself, right? When the blood is coming out of the animal, it has to be collected at that point. So Rashi says, "Also she'ata rotz la'achshir shem lo nekabel b'klinis kabel b'kli v'sulam hana lezrika." It has to be collected properly in order for the zrika to work. So Gemara says, "Mina yadi, how do you know?" Ela hachi kamri le. This is what he means. Shem lo. How do you know it wasn't correct? The Gemara says, "How do you know it wasn't collected in a kli? You know, who's to say it wasn't? Maybe it spilled out afterwards." Shem lo nekabel b'kli. Amr lehen afani lo amarti alabin eskabel b'kli. I'm also not saying that I'm not giving up the case where it wasn't. It was collected in the kli too. Shio elishin eskabel b'kli. Hold on. In eskabel b'kli v'hachan sheshav amahu to kamer sheimi shafich damo. If it falls, fine. Yeah, so maybe it was collected properly. So Amar Lahen, right? Because in the Mishnah it doesn't say what the blood was. It just said they just had a cup. So the Gemara says, Mina yada kohanim. How would the kohanim know whether or not it was properly collected in a cup? Right, there's so much blood on the floor, so many things are going on. How would they know whether it was properly collected or not to allow them to do this little trick where they pick it up from the floor? So it's reason him, they know. So Gemara says, wait a second, he's reason him, am I mishtabich? If the Kohanim are so good at their jobs and they're so careful and scrupulous, so then how'd the blood get on the floor in the first place? So Gemara says, agav zrizi asayhu to avdi mishtabich. It's because how scrupulous they were being for other things that they neglected to get this blood. So it wasn't that they weren't diligent, it's just that they were diligent for other things. V'halo dam ha-tamtzis mu'rav ba, but wait a second. There's other blood, dam ha-tamtzis. Dam ha-tamtzis, I think, is the stuff that sort of, it sort of falls out, but it's not the right kind of blood. Dam ha-tamtzis, how do you translate dam ha-tamtzis? Here it says, blood squeezed from the animal, meaning it didn't spurt out, but it was squeezed afterwards. Meaning it wasn't the kind of blood that you're bringing on the mizbeach. Okay, so the Gemara says, so how could you bring that? You're not allowed to bring that. So Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei d'amar dam tamtzis dam al yehu, says Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to use dam tamtzis even within that b'diavad t'tanya dam tamtzis ba'azhara, that the blood is. Blood hatamtis, right, dam hatamtis that you're not allowed to eat is an isser, meaning that it's legitimate blood. If you're going to tell me that the blood can't be used on the mizbeach, that would presumably mean that it's not considered legitimate blood for other isurim, like eating, I think it's referring to ingesting the blood. According to Rashi, kinefesh kol basar damo damanavisha hu, ad kol ochlav yikares, yatsa dam hatamtis she'eno dam hanefesh. Okay, so basically it's excluded from the pasuk if it's not real blood. But Rabbi Yehuda believes that it is actually aser. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'hikares from Rabbi Elazar. Mod Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'hikares v'hamar Rabbi Elazar. Mod Rabbi Yehuda le'inan kapara she'enu mechaper. But Rabbi Yehuda agrees that when it comes to this blood, it's not going to create kapara. So even though it might be true that it's a lav, that it's included in that isser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to not eat that kind of blood, the dam ha-tamtzis, which is squeezed out afterwards, that doesn't splurt out. But nonetheless, it's not going to bring kapara, and therefore it's not going to be brought on mizbeach. Shnemar ki adam ho nav jichaper. Adam shal nevesh yotzei bo mechaper, adam she'enu nevesh yotzei bo eno chaper. So the Gemara says, no, okay, fine. That's not really the reason. It's not because he holds it's a legitimate blood. Rather, he holds Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, da'amar ein dam mevalta dam. This gets back to the min v'mino stuff. But one blood cannot nullify other blood. And therefore, even though they're mixed together, and there is dam tamtis involved there, the other blood, which is legitimate good blood for the kapara, is still there, and it's going to work. Tanya, amar lahem Rabbi Yehuda l'chacham l'divreichem, lam poknis ha'azara. Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachamim, why, if it's not for the sake of collecting the blood afterwards, why would they plug up the Azara? Meaning they would, you know, stop the drain so the blood would fill the Beis HaMikdash. So why is that? Why would you do such a thing unless you're trying to collect the blood afterwards? So the Gemara says, Amar lo shevachu l'bnei Aaron she'elcho ad archoseihem badam. It's a praise of the children of Aaron that they get to walk with so much blood up to their ankles. Is that what Arko Hosea means? Yeah, ankles. So it's a praise that they could, you know, be so involved and engaged with the blood of the Karban Pesach. You can imagine the entire floor of the Beis HaMikdash covered in blood. Very reminiscent of the Makkah itself. But what's interesting is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Josephus has a first-hand account of the Karban Pesach, and he says that it was like a bloodbath. There's blood everywhere. So that would give credence to this. But then we have problems. So what does that mean? You have blood up to your ankles. You're not allowed to have something separating between the feet of the Kohen and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Some guy says, no, lahu v'yena chotetz. The blood kept, stayed in liquid form, and therefore it never actually created a chatitza to the floor. Ketitana, the Bryce says, hadam v'adayo v'achalav v'advash v'veshim chotetzin. If blood, ink, milk, honey, are dry, so then they're chotetz, if they've congealed or whatever. But however, lachen, as long as they're still liquid, so then ain chotetzin. But wait a second, it's getting all of their big day kahuna dirty, and you're not allowed to do that. Because the Tanya, I assume this is a Tanya, not a Mishnah, that's why there's a mistake here. Yeah, the Tanya, and if you bring a carbon, if you do an avoda, not just a carbon, but you do an avoda, and the big day kahuna are all dirty, so then the avoda is pasul. So then how can you tell me that this is that you're allowed to get so much blood everywhere, it's gonna get them all dirty. Maybe you're gonna tell me that they picked up their garment so that they wouldn't get in the blood. And they held them the whole time. Hatani, the Braisa says, mido bad, mido kmida social yachsar lo yosir, that the cloak should not be, you know, elevated or brought lower. It has to be exactly the right height, the right measurement for the Kohen. Really, what we're talking about when we say, I'm not 100% sure how this works out practically, but when they say that the measurements have to be the same length, it's when they're walking up the ramp that they can't change it. Okay, I'm not really sure why or how that's possible, that you don't, you know, trip over it, whatever. I'm not 100% sure, but either way, that iser of not holding up the garments only applies on the ramp of the mizbeach, but not generally. They could hold their clothing up generally so it doesn't get dirty from the blood. So now we're all good. It's not a chatzitza. It's not getting the clothing dirty, and there's no problem of holding up the garment. So Gemara says,
well, how many hands did they have?
How many hands did they have? Is that what you said? Yeah. I thought that too. And the Gemara, I think the Gemara is not going to say it, but I was thinking that also. I assume they did one with one hand, and then they did everything else with the other hand, which does not make sense based on yesterday's Gemara, where they had to switch the two, you know, the cups, where they had the two containers, the empty one coming this way and the whole one. So how are they going to do that if they're holding their garment up at the same time? I don't know.
They don't have to be using their hands to hold garments. They could be sort of,
yeah, maybe they had some kind of pin or something. Yeah, they took a page out of the bride's book, where they have those loops, right? I don't know if people know that inside the bride's things, they have like apparatus that holds up the rest of the skirt so they could dance or whatever. Either way, so maybe they did something like that. So velo, is it really true that the iser of measurements does not require the issue of measurements only applies to the ramp? The fact that you need kohanim to do these other things mean that there are avodas. And therefore, it does require. Sorry, I said it backwards. That even on the ramp, it requires you to hold on. Did I get these things mixed up? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe the iser that I said before. Let me just read this for a second. I don't have my other Gemara, so I'm getting a little. Okay. So I think it means that that when we say. Hold on. Okay, that's what I thought the first time, and I thought I was wrong when I said it. That when we say that the blood was up to their ankles, that's what only happened on the way up the ramp. Somehow it was on the ramp. That's I don't understand how it's possible either, but somehow the blood was on the ramp, and that's when it was up to their ankles, and that's when they were able to raise up their garments. But other times, yes, you're right. The Gemara is right that it has to have a full measurement. So now the Gemara is saying back, wait a second, but walking up the ramp is something that a Kohen has to do, and therefore that should also be considered an avoda, which would require you to not hold up your garments. Rather, what it's talking about is bringing the wood to the Mizbeach for burning, and that's when they would have their clothing, when they're holding up their garments, and that's also when they would have the blood up into their ankles. Because that's not considered avodah. So when they would actually bring the stuff on that same ramp, so how would they do it then? There was some little outcropping, a little ledge or something that they would have on the side of the ramp that they would be able to, right? They would walk on the platforms raised above the floor and thereby avoid soiling their clothing. Okay, so it says Kate Tolan Mafshitim Mikhule Karvotsius Nusnam Bimagis Lakhtiram. They would put the things on the hooks, and they would skin them, and they would cut them open, and take out the innards, so they can put them on the mizbeach. So Gemara says, "Atuhu gufei havim mekater lehu." Is it really that person who's cutting it open that's going to bring it on the mizbeach? They're not kohanim; they're not allowed to do such a thing. I believe that says that. Really, what it does, it doesn't mean that specific person is the one that brought on the Mizbeach. Ema lahaktirin al gavei Mizbeach. Rather, it means that they took them out in order for them to be placed on the Mizbeach, not that literal person, Kohen or otherwise, would be the one to bring on the Mizbeach. So Gemara says, Yatsakas, Rishonim, Chulei, Tana, Kol Echad Ve'echad Nosim Piskel Ba'oro, Umafshul Achorav. Every person would put all the meat of the Karban Pesach back into its skin, and they would sort of hold it over their shoulders on their way out in order to transport the meat in the skin. Amar Rav Elish Tayaos. This is a weird kind of machlokas Rishonim. What exactly is Rav Elish trying to tell us? He's basically saying, if you look at Rashi, Derech Sochrim Yishmaelim Huzeh. Rav Elish comes to tell us, by the way, this whole putting the meat in the skin, putting it over your shoulder thing, that's just like the Arab workers used to do. Okay. Why do we need to know that? So some point to a drasha, a good drasha for Pesach, for the Seder, which is that this little act of putting the skin over your shoulder is reminiscent of what caused all of Mitzrayim. What caused all of the Shibud Mitzrayim? It's the fact that the brothers sold Yosef to the Arab merchants, who then brought Yosef to Egypt, that ultimately caused the whole thing to go into motion, that the whole Jewish people ended up in Egypt. And that's what Rav Elish is coming to say here. They would hold the Karban Pesach in the skin over their shoulders as if they were Arab merchants, starting the Pesach, starting the whole process of the Seder night. Kind of interesting drasha. Okay, new Mishnah. Elu Dvarim, this might sound a little bit familiar from some things we did in Shabbos. Elu Dvarim Pesach Tochnes HaShabbos. These are the things for the Karban Pesach that push away Shabbos, meaning you're allowed to do, oh, sorry, Hadron Olaf Tamar HaNishkat. We now finished the parak that mainly deals with the process of the Karban Pesach. We'll talk about it a little bit more now, but Shkayach, Hadron Olaf Tamar HaNishkat will be back. Elu Dvarim Pesach Tochnes HaShabbos. These are the things about the Pesach that are going to push away Shabbos, meaning that you're allowed to violate them or do them on Shabbos, even though they would typically be us, shchitaso, zrikaso, zrikas damo, michoy kreva, vaktaras chalavav. Right, the shchita, the zrika, the taking out of the organs, and the actual burning of them on the mizbeach. The cleaning of the organs, fine. Avat sliaso v'hadachas kravav enadochnas haShabbos. However, the roasting of the karban and the smoothening, is that what that means? The washing of the intestines. So that is not Docha Shabbos. You'd have to wait for that afterwards in order to clean them off and to actually roast it. That has to be done on Yantif. We saw that last week sometime. Har Kav Tov Hava Asa Michutz Tzchum V'Chasich Yival Tov in Docha Nasa Shabbos. The Har Kav Tov, I believe, means to just bring it. Hold on. Carrying. It says carrying. Harkavto, right, to bring the animal sort of on your shoulders, I think Rashi says. So then, so that's no good, and to bring it from outside of the tchum is no good, and to cut off any warts, you're not allowed to do any of those on Shabbos. Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Dochen, Rabbi Eliezer says, even those things are allowed. We've seen Rabbi Eliezer say this before. Right, Rabbi Eliezer Demila, he's willing to go further than most rabbis to allow even the preparation for a mitzvah to be done on Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer v'halo dinu, but doesn't it say ma im shchita shi mishum malacha doches haShabbos? Right, if the shchita itself is a real malacha is able to be done on Shabbos. So this elu shehen mishum shvus, these other things, washing the intestines, he says, presumably also cutting off the wart and bringing it from outside the tchum, is also only a shvus somehow. So lo yedchu es haShabbos. These things aren't going to push away Shabbos. These things are less stringent than Shechita. Obviously, they're less involved in the mitzvah than Shechita, but nonetheless, it's a less iser. It's a less amount of iser. So that should also be allowed according to Rabbi Eliezer. Amar le Rabbi Yoshua, Yom Tov Yochiach. It's not true because we have other instances where Shavus is not allowed, even though it's more lenient. Sheitir Boshim Shum Malacha. We're allowed to do certain malachas on Yantif, like for Ochel Nefesh purposes. And nonetheless, you're not allowed to do other rabbinic commandments that would be violated in preparation for those things. So that's a clear example where we don't have that concept. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Maze Yoshua, what are you telling me? My raya rishus lemitzvah. When it comes to doing things for ochel nefesh on yantif, you don't have to do them. Here we're talking about a mitzvah. These things are part of the process of doing a mitzvah, and therefore they should be allowed. So Heshi Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva comes back and says, V'amar hazah tochiach. The sprinkling of the blood is going to disprove that. Shemesh Rishu Mitzvah, Vimishum Shavas. It's both because of a mitzvah and because of a Shavas. V'ena dochas Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos, even though it's a mitzvah. So Gemara says, Afata al titame al elu. Sha'af al pi shehemishum mitzvah, v'hemishum Shavas, l'yichus a Shabbos. These are also for a mitzvah, but they're a Shavas, and therefore you're still not allowed to do them on Shabbos. Just like the sprinkling of the blood, you can't do on Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, V'ale anidan. I'm going to analyze this for a second. Ma'im shchita shemishum malacha dochas a Shabbos, haza shemishum Shavas. So I'll also say about that. Even on the sprinkling, you should be allowed to, right? So Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, but what about the sprinkling? So Rabbi says, I agree, sprinkling too. Sprinkling should also be allowed on Shabbos. So Gemara says, over on the daf, Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, O chilif. Say the opposite. Right? I'll see Rabbi Akiva saying, I'm going to say the opposite of Makal v'chomer. Just to sort of show how I think how ridiculous it is that shouldn't work. Just like shechita is an integral part of the mitzvah, just like sprinkling is because of a shus and it's not going to be docha Shabbos, shechita, which is a melacha, should surely not be docha Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Akiva, Karta Mashikas of the Torah, it says in the Torah, Bimo Ado. You have to bring the carbon at its proper time. So you have to do Shechita on Erev Pesach. So Bimo Ado, Bein Bechol, Bein Mishabbos. So Amar Lo, Rabbi, Havali Moe Le'elu Kimoe to Shechita. That the time for these is the time for Shechita too. Meaning, Sheizman, Rashi says Sheizman kavu lehen kamashi kavu lishchita hilkach kevan dlo kavil uzmana matzul meva lehu meesmol lo dachu vaza nami la beguf bepesachi lo ksiv ba moi. Right, and Rabbi Akiva answers back to Rabbi Eliezer, you're right about the word b'mo'ado. Those things that have to literally necessarily be done on Erev Pesach are allowed to be done, and those things that don't have to be, meaning the sprinkling could be done later, and the preparations could be done beforehand, so though those things are not allowed to be done b'mo'ado, they're not included in that word. That's exactly my point. So, klal, am Rabbi Akiva, kol m'lach she'ef shal asos me'ev Shabbos, en edochas ha'Shabbos, shechita, she'ef shal asos me'ev Shabbos, edochas ha'Shabbos. Shechita is the only thing that has to be done on Erev Pesach itself, and therefore that's what's going to be Doch Shabbos. But the other things, like bringing the animal into the Tchum and cutting off the wart and things like that, those should not be Doch Shabbos because you could have done them beforehand. What exactly do you do if you didn't do it? I don't know. But we've got some interesting Gemaras coming up about what exactly happens when they didn't do it properly. Okay, Shkaich, we'll pick up tomorrow 6:15. Hopefully we get a bigger group then. I wish you have a good day and a good week. Shkaya.